إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our seventh session dealing with the topic of al-iman in al-qadr, khayrihi wa sharri, and believing in the divine pre-decree, the good and the evil of it. And this is taken from the book أعلام السنة المنشورة لإعتقاد الطائفة الناجية المنصورة by العلامة حافظ أحمد بن علي الحكمي رحمه الله. And for the last few classes we have been dealing with the second level of the four levels of belief in Al-Qadr. And we said in the beginning that the scholars of the Sunnah have divided the levels of Qadr or the aspects or degrees of Qadr into four. The first of them is Al-Ilm, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is complete and perfect, encompassing everything. Allah has knowledge of everything. The second of them is Al-Kitab, or the recording. And this is the level that we have reached, and we've been dealing with the recording and the different types. And we said, as many of the scholars in the past said, that there are five types of decrees related to that which has been written and recorded. And we previously mentioned some of the evidences for the first type of recording. And today, inshallah, we would like to look at another type of the recording and its evidences. Last week, we dealt with one question from this section, question 144. ما دليل التقدير العمري يوم الميثاق؟ What is the evidence for at-taqdeer al-umri? The divine pre-decree dealing with the lifespan or the life of the human being, the things that would happen in every individual's life. This taqdeer was written at the time of the taking of the covenant by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from all of the children of Adam, from all human beings, that they would not associate anything with him in the worship that belongs to him alone. This is what we dealt with last week, and the Shaykh rahimahullah, he mentioned four evidences: one ayah from the Quran and three narrations from the Sunnah. So if somebody can remind us of the ayah from the Quran that the Shaykh gave related to at-taqdeer al-umri at the time of the mithaq. Naam, Abdul Salam. Surah Al-A'raf. Naam. Naam, naam. And the meaning of it?
And when your Lord took the
covenant?
Covenant from Bani Adam.
Naam. Naam. So in this ayah, as we discussed last week in some detail, it is reminding us of this occasion at the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had removed all of the offspring of Adam alayhi salam before they were brought into this world, and had each one to bear witness that he is our Rabb and that he alone deserves to be worshipped. And this ayah indicates this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took from the loins of the Bani Adam, from the children, from the human beings, took from their loins their offspring, and he had everyone to bear witness that he is the Rabb. After this, the Shaykh mentioned three narrations from the Sunnah, that further clarify this ayat and bring out the details of it. And the wording of each of them is a little bit different, yani bringing into focus yani the whole affair. If anybody can bring us one of those narrations. One of those narrations. Naam. Naam. Now, this is one of the narrations that we mentioned in the explanation. In the explanation, the tafsir of the ayat. One of the hadith or narrations that Al-Imam Ibn Kathir mentioned was the man, a person from the people of the hellfire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him at that time, when he is about to be punished in the hellfire, yani would he ransom everything that was in the earth if it was his to give up to save himself? And he said that he would. And Allah said, I have asked you for less than this, just that you do not worship anything besides me. I want to mention here though the three narrations that the Shaykh mentioned in the book. And one of them was from Ishaq ibn Rahaway, and the second one was a narration of Umar ibn al-Khattab, and the third one was a narration of Abdul ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma. One of those three narrations. Naam.
The narration of Umar ibn al-Khattab.
Naam.
Imam Malik ibn Muwatta.
Naam. Naam. Sayyid. Yani the narration that he is giving to us is a narration in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, rahimahullah, the narration about Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, where it's reported that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created Adam, he wiped his hand over his back and he brought out his offspring. He brought out some of his offspring. Naam, to the end of the narration. The narration is a little bit lengthy, and in that narration, the Prophet ﷺ makes it clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he brought the people out, the offspring of Adam, when he brought them out, he said to one group of people that he took out of his back with his right hand, biyaminihi, he said, these people I have created for the paradise. And with the deeds of the people of paradise, they will do. And then he took another group of people out, by rubbing his back, more offspring, and he said, these people I have created for the hellfire and the deeds of the people of hellfire that they will do. And that narration actually goes on to say that a man asks from the Prophet ﷺ, yani concerning this matter, if this is already decided, that these people have been created for the paradise and these people have been created for the hellfire, and this is very, very important in this narration, they said, so what are we doing these deeds for? What are we doing these deeds for? And the Prophet ﷺ said that when Allah creates a person for the paradise, He will cause that person to do the deeds of the people of paradise. And then that until that person dies doing a deed from the deeds of the people of paradise, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into the paradise due to that. فَيُدْخِلُهُ بِهِ الْجَنَّةِ يُدْخِلُهُ due to that action that he is doing will enter him into the paradise. And if Allah, when Allah creates a people for the hellfire, He causes that person to do deeds of the people of hellfire until that person dies doing a deed from the deeds of the people of hellfire, and Allah causes him to enter the hellfire due to it. So this is very important for us to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows what's going to happen. He knows what the people are going to do, but nonetheless, it is upon the people, it is upon us to know that our actions will be determined, will be a great determinant. And for the most part, the people who are doing the deeds of the people of paradise, inshallah, we'll end up in paradise. And the people who are doing the deeds of the people of hellfire will end up in the hellfire. Except in the case, in some rare cases that we'll talk about today, and we mentioned it previously, as the Prophet ﷺ said, فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. In a previous narration, we mentioned this, that a person will be doing the deeds of the people of paradise in that which appears to the people. It will appear like this person is going to the paradise, but then, when he comes near to the paradise, and so on to the end of the narration that inshallah we'll mention today, then that which is written will overcome him, and he will do the deeds of the people of hellfire and enter into hellfire. So in any case, this is one of the narration of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, and it contains some very important points that we need to reflect upon. We need to look at these hadith in their entirety and try to comprehend the point that we can get from it in order to understand how we're supposed to believe in al-Qadr. The last narration is the narration as reported by At-Tirmidhi, the narration of Abdul Ibn Amr ibn al-As. It's a long narration. Does anybody remember at least some of it? Naam, Ma'mun. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. الكتاب ها الكتابان نعم
فقال السعدي
ها
قال لا يا رسول الله فقال رسول الله إلا
نعم يعني in the beginning of the hadith the first part that the brother mentions here said that the prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came out to them and he had in his hand two books and he asked the people do you know what these two books are and they said, we don't know, Ya Rasulullah, unless you inform us. That's where you stopped at. Anybody help us complete the hadith? Now. He said to, he point, and he's speaking about the one that he had in his right hand. Now, and to this part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this book in his right hand is a book from the Rabbul Alameen. And in it are the names of the people of paradise, and the names of their fathers, and their tribes. And then he mentioned the rest of it, yani to the end of those names of the people in the paradise, to the end of it. And he said, there will not be any increase in it, nor will be any decrease in it ever. Yani it's sealed, it's finished. Naam. And then, help us somebody. He didn't, that's in a different narration. But the point he's saying that these are the names of the people of paradise with the details of who they are. And nothing will be increased in it. No names will be added to it, nor will anything be decreased from it. These are the people of paradise. This is it. Okay, after that he said about the that which is in his left hand, this is a book, same thing, من رب العالمين فيه أسماء أهل النار وأسماء آبائهم وقبائلهم ثم أجمل على آخرهم. And then he said, yani this is book from the Lord of the Worlds, and it contains the names of the people of the hellfire, and the names of their fathers, and the names of their tribes, until the end of them. And then he said the same thing, فلا يزاد فيهم ولا ينقص منهم أبدا. No names will be added to them, and no names will be decreased from them, ever. Now we come to the point of the hadith that is really the problem for the people in Qadr, right? The companion, they asked him, فَفِيمَ الْعَمَلِ. So what is these? What are we doing these deeds for? Who knows what is the answer of the Prophet in this hadith? Because each time the Prophet ﷺ is asked this, he gave the same meaning but in different words. This time the Prophet ﷺ said what? Naam. Saddidu wa qaribu. Naam. Meaning?
Aim and come close.
Aim and come close. Naam. Aim and come close. Meaning, try to be on the mark. Try to do it perfectly. Yani to worship Allah perfectly. To hit the mark exactly. But if you fall short of that, then at least try to be close to it. Do the best that you can. Why? Because... فأنا صاحب الجنة نعم because the people who are going to be in the Jannah their deeds would be sealed with a deed of the people of Jannah in spite of whatever they did before that even if they have done some other deeds the people of Jannah their life will be sealed يُخْتَم بِعَمَلٍ مِنْ عَمَلْ أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ their life will be sealed with a deed so يعني صَدِّدُ وَقَارِبُ do the best you can and then Allah will make it so that in the end of your life your deed will be sealed with a good deed the deed from the people of paradise no matter whatever you did before that and likewise the people who's going to be in the hellfire their life will be sealed with a deed of the deeds of the people of hellfire no matter whatever they did before that. And then the end of the hadith is also very important. Help us, somebody. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did like this with his hands, like he is throwing something away, and he said, "Thumma qala." من العباد فرغ ربكم من العباد. Your Rabb, he is finished with the slaves, the servants, the people. He's finished with the matter. The matter is finished. نعم فريق في الجنة وفريق في السعير. A party of the people will be in the Jannah and a party of people will be in the hellfire. And in these hadith are very, very important for us to reflect upon. And we talked about them last week. And today we are just kind of trying to catch up in case somebody missed it. So we're trying to catch up and remind us of these hadith. And inshallah, maybe somebody will help us to collect the hadith that the Shaykh has mentioned in detail. Yani the total narrations of those hadith before we finish this course. Inshallah. Somebody will help us. So everybody can have access to them. Now, by the way, I would advise you to go to the Sahih of Imam Muslim. Because Imam Muslim, contrary to the methodology of Imam Bukhari, usually collect all of the hadith on any particular topic in one place. Whereas Imam Bukhari, he might have narrated the hadith in his Sahih in 5 or 6 or 7 or 10 different places under different topics. Sometimes part of the hadith here and part of it there and the whole hadith somewhere. So it may be more difficult for you to find this topic in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari. Although you'll find a lot of hadith in the chapter of Qadr, but in Sahih Muslim you'll find mostly all of the hadith related to the topic in one place, in the chapter of Qadr. And it will help you a lot if you read and study and review those hadith. And it's not a lot, because I've collected them here in only a few pages, but this is not translated, so you have to, may have to make a new collection in the translation, inshallah. Now, huh? The email? Some of the hadith? In Arabic? In Arabic, yeah, we can send, no problem. The translation you can find though on the internet, translation Sahih Muslim, you can find it on the internet. You can find it easily, inshallah. So after this, we want to look at the next question or two. And the next question is question number 145. Question number 145. And the question the Shaykh has given to us, ما دليل التقدير العمري الذي عند أول تخليق النطفة. Yani, what is the evidence for at-taqdeer al-umri, the second taqdeer al-umri, the divine pre-decree which Allah ordered to be written concerning the life activities, the lifespan of the individual at the time of the formation of the nutfa, the life seed in the mother's womb. Yani, the first taqdeer al-umri is at the time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wiped the back of Adam alayhi salam and took all of his offspring out and made them to bear witness that he is the Rabb. And this taqdeer al-umri, yani the taqdeer that's written about what will happen in a person's whole life, is at the time of the formation of giving life to the nutfa in the mother's womb. And the Shaykh mentions one ayah from the Quran, and he mentions one hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, the ayah that the Shaykh mentions in Surah An-Najm, the 53rd surah, 32nd ayat. قال الله تعالى هو أعلم بكم إذ أنشأكم من الأرض وإذ أنتم أجنة في بطون أمهاتكم فلا تزكوا أنفسكم هو أعلم بمن اتقى. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best knower of you. He knows everything about you at the time when He brought you forth from the earth, meaning when He created Adam from the earth, from the soil of the earth. He knew everything. أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ. He knows everything about you. At that time, وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّتُمْ. And when you were fetuses, فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. When you are in the wombs of your mothers. Allah knows everything about you. فَلَا تُزَكُّ أَنْفُسَكُمْ. So don't ascribe to yourself purity or righteousness. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. He knows best the one who observes taqwa. Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, in the tafsir of this ayat, We're just going to read a little bit of what he said, the most important, I believe, of what he has said, and that is, he mentions this ayah, he says, وَقَوْلُهُ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِكُمْ إِذْ أَنْشَأَكُمْ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he is the best knower of you at the time when he brought you forth from the earth. A, meaning, هُوَ بَصِيرٌ بِكُمْ بَصِيرٌ بِكُمْ, that he's seeing you, with the perfect sight where he sees everything. عَلِيمٌ all-knowing, بِأَحْوَالِكُمْ, of all of your conditions. وَأَفْعَالِكُمْ, and all of your actions. وَأَقْوَالِكُمْ, and all of your sayings or your speech. التي تصدر أو ستصدر عنكم وتقع منكم. Every situation that you might be in, every one of your actions and your speech which will come from you, that will occur from you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sees and He knows all of this. حين أنشأ أباكم آدم من الأرض, at the time when he brought your father Adam from the earth. وَاسْتَخْرَجَ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ مِنْ صُلْبِهِ أَمْثَالَ ذَرُّ. At the time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew everything about you, everything, every situation and circumstance that you would be in, everything that you would say, everything that you would do. He knew all of that at the time when he brought your father Adam alayhi salam from the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew all of this. And at the time when he brought forth his offspring, the offspring of Adam alayhi salam, from his loins, and they were like little specks. Every human being is just a little dot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them all from the loins of Adam. ثُمَّ قَسَمَهُمْ فَرِيقًا. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala divided them into two groups. فَرِيقًا لِلْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقًا لِلْسَعِيرِ. A group that is created for the paradise, and a group that is for the hellfire. And then Al-Hafiz ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, وَكَذَا قَوْلُهُ, and likewise, his saying, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةٌ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ, and likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best know, He knows everything about what you would say and everything that you would do and every situation or circumstance that you would be in at the time when you were fetuses in the stomachs or in the wombs of your mothers. And here, this second part is alluding to what? The first part of the ayah is alluding to at-taqdir al-umri, at the time of the offspring of Adam being taken from the loins of Adam and the covenant being taken, the first part of the ayah. And the second part of the ayah is alluding to at-taqdir al-umri, the lifetime predestination that is written at the time when you're in the wombs of your mothers. Can you look at the ayah? Subhanallah. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in this one ayat two types of taqdeer. At the time when Adam alayhi salam was taken from the earth and his offspring was taken from his loins. And the second part of the ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَنْتُمْ أَجِنَّةِ, when you were fetuses, فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ, in the stomachs or in the wombs of your mothers. He says the meaning of this is, قَدْ كَتَبَ الْمَلَكُ الَّذِي يُوَكَّلْ بِهِ, that the angel who has been assigned to you, to that person, he will have written رِزْقَهُ وَأَجَلَهُ وَعَمَلَهُ وَشَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ, that he will have written your sustenance. What will be your provisions in this world? Everything that is going to come to you of provisions and sustenance in this world from the day you came into this world until you leave. The angel will have written that at that time when you're in the womb of your mother. And your ajal, your lifespan, how long you will live in this world. Well, you have a long life or a short life, exactly, precisely, to the year, to the month, to the day, to the hour, to the minute, to the second. Naam. And there will be no increase or decrease in it. وَعَمَلَهُ, and his deeds. What kind of deeds that person would do? The deeds of the people of paradise, or the deeds of the people of hellfire, and your destination, شَقِيٌ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ, whether you'll be fortunate or unfortunate, whether you'll be happy or unhappy, whether you'll be of the people of the paradise, or the people of the hellfire. And here Ibn Kathir mentions the saying of Maqhul, rahimahullah, one of the scholars of the Salaf, and he says, it's somewhat related to this, he says, Maqhul, he says, kunna ajinna, we were, fetuses, fi butun ummahatina, in the wombs of our mothers, fasaqata minna man saqata, and some fell out. يعني they were lost. What do you call it? Miscarriage. يعني سقط منا من سقط. Some from amongst us who were in the wombs, we were dropped. We didn't come into this world. وكنا يعني نحن في من بقي. But we, يعني he's talking to the people who are living, we were from those who remained. We lived on. ثم كنا مراضع. Then we were of those who were suckling from their mothers. فَحَلَكَ مِنَّا مَنْ حَلَكَ. And those from amongst us who were destroyed were destroyed at that time. While they were suckling child, they didn't get past that in their age. وَكُنَّا فِي مَنْ بَقِيَ. But we, those who were still living, were from those who remained. And then he said, we were يعني, at the age of maturity, of discretion. And those who from amongst us were destroyed, who were destroyed at that age. But we, who are still here, we were from those who remained. And then we became شَبَابًا, يعني young men and young women. And some of us were destroyed, whoever was destroyed, and we were from those who remained, and then we became شُيُوخًا, old age. Some of us reached old age. يعني some of us, we have reached old age. Some of you didn't reach old age yet. He said, and you don't have any father. Rather, now you are old man, and you are on your own. فَمَاذَا بَعْدَ هَذَا ننتظروا أو ينتظروا رواه ابن أبي حاتم عنه. He said, so now you have reached this age, يعني you were in the fetus in your mother's womb, and then you were a suckling child, then you were a young يعني at the age of discretion, then you were a young man, and then you became an old man. You live all this time, so after that, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for now? What are we waiting for? يعني what are we waiting? يعني if you reach to this point, whether it is the teenager or the young man, or if you reach old age, what are you waiting for? يعني what has been written, but what are you going to do about it? About your condition? Because we don't know يعني what tonight holds for us or tomorrow. But right now you have a chance to do something. So what are you waiting for? And then Al-Hafidh Ibn Kathir, he mentions the last part of the ayat, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't ascribe purity to yourselves by praising yourselves and thanking yourselves and giving yourself credit for your actions. يعني but remember that whatever you do of good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He knows best those who are righteous. And he mentions some narrations here. But يعني, and they are important narrations too, but يعني, in summary, he mentions the narration of Zainab bint Abi Salama. I'm just saying the summary of the meaning of it, that a man named his child Barra, and she told him that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited us from naming with this name. Yani she was named that. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited her parents from naming her that name. And he said, do not ascribe purity to yourselves, for indeed Allah knows best who is pure from amongst you. And then they asked, so what shall we name her? And he said, name her Zainab. Yani the person who's telling this man this, her name was Barra. And when she saw somebody naming their daughter Barra, he said, oh, don't do this. The Prophet prohibited this. And then when they asked, what shall we name her? Then the Prophet ﷺ told them her parents to name her Zainab. In another narration, it's reported by Bukhari, Muslim and others, the Prophet ﷺ mentions a man who praised a man in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, woe to you, you're cutting your companion's neck, and you're killing him. And the Prophet ﷺ continued to repeating this. And he said, if any one of you wants to praise his companion, and he has to, there's no escape except to do this, then let him say, أَحْسَبُهُ أَوْ أَحْسَبُ فُلَانًا وَاللَّهُ حَسِيبُهُ وَلَا أُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. And this is what we should say. If we want to say something good about somebody, don't say this person is great, this person is this, and this person is that. But rather, you should say, أَحْسَبُهُ, I consider him to be such and such, but Allah is his حَسِيب. Allah is the one who knows the reality of the matter. وَلَا أُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدٍ. And I don't consider somebody to be righteous or pure over Allah. Rather, Allah is the one who really knows. So be careful what you say about something about somebody. But if you have to say something about somebody, then make sure you remember to say, this is what I consider this person to be, but Allah is the one who really knows. Allahu hasibu. As for me, la uzakki ala Allahi ahada. I don't yani consider or praise anyone above Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, Allah is the one who knows, but this is what I consider him to be. And then he mentioned another narration of Uthman. A person came and praised him, and one of the companions started throwing dust in his face. And he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us that when we meet people who are praising people, then this is what we should do: throw dust in their face. Yani this is not the character of the Muslim, praising people, and especially it's even worse if we love to be praised. May Allah save us from this. The hadith that the Shaykh mentions is the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inna ahadukum la yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi 40 yawman nutfa, that one of you, yani meaning every human being, indeed one of you, his creation will be brought together in the womb of his mother as a nutfa for 40 days, yani as a drop of sperm or the mixing of the sexual discharge of men and women. For 40 days a person will be in this state as a nutfa. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَقَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ, and then he will be an alaqa, yani as a drop of blood, congealed blood, or however they described it, for the like of this, yani for the same period of time, for another 40 days. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُضْغَةً, then he will be a mudgha, yani a lump of flesh, مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ, yani for a like period of time, for 40 days on this stage as nutfa, and 40 days as alaqa, and 40 days as mudgha, meaning for 120 days or 4 months. ثُمَّ يُرْسَلْ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكِ, then the angel will be sent to him, فَيَنْفُقُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ, and the angel will breathe into him the spirit, yani the spirit of life. At that point, life came into the human being, فَيُؤْمَرُ بِأَرْبَعِ كَلِمَاتِ, and then he will be commanded with 4 words or 4 matters. يُقْتَبُ رِزْقُهُ وَأَجَلُهُ عَمَلُهُ وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ, he will record, or it will be recorded, yani in some of the narrations said يَقْتُبُ, in some of the narrations يُقْتَبُ, it will be recorded, or he will record his sustenance. What will be his sustenance? At this point, after 120 days, when the ruh is breathed into the person, these 4 matters will be recorded. So this is the type of recording of a person's yani life, their whole life, the lively taqdeer, or the lifetime taqdeer, taqdeer al-umri, at the time when the fetus is in the womb of the mother after 120 days and the breathing of life into him, it will record what? His sustenance, his lifespan, how long he will live, his actions, what type of deeds he will do, and what will be his destination. He will be of those who are fortunate in the paradise or unfortunate in the hellfire. Then he said, وَالَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرُهُ, and I swear by the one besides whom there is no other one that deserves to be worshipped. And I swear by Allah, إِنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمْلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ, that indeed one of you would do the deeds of the people of Jannah, حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ, until there will not be between him and the Jannah, yani entering the Jannah, nothing more than a arm's length. What do you call this? Yani ذِرَاعَ, yani from the fingertips to the, what do they call this? Arm span. Naam. Yani meaning close. So you'll be close to the paradise. فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمْلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا, and then the kitab, that which is recorded, the decree, will overcome him, and he will begin to do the deeds of the people of hellfire, and then he will enter the hellfire. وَإِنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا ذِرَاعٌ, and even indeed one of you would do the deeds of the people of the hellfire until there is nothing left between him and the hellfire except an arm span of ذِرَاعَ, فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ فَيَدْخُلُهَا, so then the recording, that which is written in the book, yani the divine pre-decree which has been written, will overcome him, and he will do the deeds of the people of the paradise, and he will enter the paradise. This hadith is reported in Bukhari and Muslim, and the Shaykh, the Imam Hafiz al-Hakami, he says, وَفِيهِ رِوَايَاتِ غَيْرُ هَذِهِ عَنْ جَمَاعَةٍ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ بِأَلْفَاظٍ أُخْرَ وَالْمَعْنَى وَاحِدٌ, and also this hadith has other narrations other than this one from a group from amongst the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in, with different wordings, slightly different wordings, but the meaning of all of them is the same. And then there's a lot of discussion concerning the meaning of this hadith, and we'll look at a little bit of it. Yani from amongst that which is said concerning this hadith is that what is intended by the ذِرَاعَ is a tamthil lil-qurb min mawtihi wa dukhulihi aqibahu. Yani what is intended by the ذِرَاعَ, he will be this distance of a ذِرَاعَ, an arm span from the paradise or from the hellfire. It means that this is yani tamthil, is like giving an example of the nearness of his death and entering his place of destination, where he will end up at. Yani that's how close he will be to his death and to entering the place of his destination. And that this place of destination, whichever one it is, there is nothing left between him and entering or reaching it except the likeness of what is between a person, yani, who is on the earth, and a dhira' distance. Yani the actual distance of a dhira' is like that kind of distance between him and his place of destination, the hellfire. But of course the distance is not the distance on the earth, right? Because he's going into the hellfire, into the paradise or into the hellfire. What is intended by this hadith? أَنَّ هَذَا قَدْ يَقَعَ فِي نَادِرٍ مِنَ النَّاسِ لَأَنَّهُ غَالِبٌ فِيهِمْ. Yani that this, yani that a person would do the deeds of the people of paradise until he's almost entering into the paradise, and then that which is written will overcome him, and he would do the deeds of the people of the hellfire and into the hellfire. This is something, what is intended by the hadith, is that this is something that is very rare. This is very rare. Not that this is, yani what is most common in the people. This is something rare. And likewise, from the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the vastness of His mercy, a person, turning a person from evil to good happens many times. It's more likely that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would turn a person who had been doing evil to doing good and allow them to enter the paradise. This is more common and more likely because of Allah's kindness and because of Allah's mercy. As far as the person turning over, yani from good to evil, ففي غاية النُّدُور ونهاية القلة, then this condition of a person who turns from doing good to doing evil, this is something that is extremely rare, and it is the least of whatever you can imagine. نهاية القلة, and it's something that's very little. It's not something that happens a lot. And this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إن رحمتي سبقت غضبي وغلبت غضبي, that indeed my mercy overcomes my anger, or my mercy yani has yani superseded or preceded my anger, yani it took precedence. And entering into this matter of the people who turned yani from doing good to doing the deeds of the people of the paradise is included kufr and ma'asiyah. Yani there are some people who started to do evil at the end of their life. It might be the person who fell into kufr itself and died on kufr, or it might be the person who just started doing some sinful deeds that's not equivalent to kufr. Both of them are included in the meaning here. However, the condition of these two people, the one who fell into kufr in the end and the one who fell into just committing sins, the difference between them, yani their condition is different in terms of remaining in the hellfire permanently or not remaining in it permanently. For indeed the kafir will remain in the hellfire permanently, for eternity, the person who dies on kufr, as far as the sinful person who dies as a muwahid, yani worshipping Allah alone, who doesn't die on shirk, but they die committing some sins, they would not remain in the hellfire eternally. And this is something that we have discussed previously. And in this hadith, there is also a clear confirmation of iman in qadr, the divine pre-decree is clearly indicated in this hadith, and also that at tawbah, yani repentance, removes the sins that were before it. If a person repents with the conditions of repentance, sincere repentance, and that whoever dies on a thing, then he will be judged according to what he died on, whether it was good or evil. Except that those who commit sins that are other than kufr, then they are tahta mashiyatillah. Yani those who die on sins other than kufr, Allah will not forgive kufr if a person dies on that without repenting. But other than that, maybe Allah will punish them, maybe Allah will forgive them. Yani they are tahta mashiyatillah. They are subject to the will of Allah. He does what He wills. He punishes whom He wills and He forgives whomever He wills. And then Al-Khattabi, he said in this hadith, there is the reality that the appearance of deeds, whether good or evil, are signs, yani amarat, walaysat bimujibat. Yani they are signs of where a person will end up, but they do not yani necessitate that a person has to end up in paradise or the hellfire. But rather, the end of a person's affair, yani in the end, it is based on the qada and the qadr of what Allah has pre-decreed. And that's what we can mention from this hadith. And we want to take the second question, the next question, question number 146. What is the evidence for the taqdeer al-hawli? Yani, the divine pre-decree, which is written from al-lawh al-mahfuz, from the preserved tablet yearly, related to the yearly affairs of what will happen with the human beings. And this is written on Laylatul Qadr. And this, yani, the evidence for this, the Shaykh says, he mentions one ayat from the Quran, and he mentions yani the statement of Abdul ibn Abbas, which was also the statement of many others from amongst the Salaf. Yani the ayah that the Shaykh mentions is from Surah Al-Dukhan, the 44th surah, 4th and 5th ayat. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ أَمْرًا مِنْ عِنْدِنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا مُرْسِلِينَ. To the end of the ayat, yani Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says, yani these ayat came after what? After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oath swearing by Al-Kitab al-Mubin, yani swearing by his clear book. He said, indeed, we have sent it down in Laylatin Mubarakatin, yani in a blessed night. And this blessed night is Laylatul Mubarakatin, is Laylatul Qadr, as Ibn Kathir mentions. And then he says concerning this, fiha, in this Laylatin Mubarakatin or Laylatul Qadr, fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. Yani in this night, yufraqu kullu amrin, every matter of divine pre-decrees, or every matter of the things that Allah has fixed, yani qadran wa shar'an, all these matters will be separated. Yani yufraqu, yufsalu min al-lawh al-mahfuz. It will be separated, taken out of the lawh al-mahfuz, every matter that Allah has decreed to happen on that night for that year, on Laylatul Qadr. And this is amran min indina, this is a matter that is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, yani mentions some points concerning this Laylatul Mubarakatin, that this is Laylatul Qadr, and that Laylatul Qadr is in Shahr Ramadan, so that this night in which these affairs for the year, yani are recorded, taken from the Lawh al-Mahfuz, this is in the month of Ramadan, on the night of Qadr. The Shaykh, he says concerning the term, and this is our term of importance, related to our topic, that this is the evidence for the Taqdeer al-Hawli, yani the yearly decree on Laylatul Qadr, fiha yufraqu kullu amrin hakim. He said the meaning of this is that in Laylatul Qadr yufsalu min al-lawh al-mahfuz ila al-katabati amru sana. Yani on the night of Qadr, every yani matter will be separated from the lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet, to the, and it will be given to the recorders, yani the angels, all affairs for that year. وَمَا يَكُونُ فِيهَا, and everything that will happen in that year, مِنَ الْآجَالِ, of the lifespans of the people, وَالْأَرْزَاقِ, and the provisions of the people, وَمَا يَكُونُ فِيهَا إِلَىٰ آخِرِهَا, and everything that's going to happen to the end of it in that year is taken from the Lawh al-Mahfuz in detail for what's going to happen to the people for the whole of that year. And this, any view of the meaning of this ayah, is what has been narrated from Abdullah ibn Umar and Abi Malik and Mujahid and Dahaq and غير واحد من السلف. Yani that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, and from amongst the Tabi'een, Abi Malik and Mujahid and Dahaq rahimahumullah, and other scholars from amongst the Salaf have given this meaning to this particular ayat, that the meaning of every yani matter of hakim will be separated from the lawh al-mahfuz, all the matters that will take place in the year. The Shaykh, he says, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, the meaning of hakim, it means muhkam, yani that which is fixed, determined, clear, decisive, doesn't allow for any other meaning or any change. Muhkam, لا يبدلوا ولا يغيروا, it will not be changed, and it will not be exchanged, yubaddal, and it will not be yughayr, it will not be any change in it. Yani these affairs that are fixed, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided, and this will take place in this year. And for this reason, he says, amran min indina, that's why Allah said, this is a matter from us, meaning, jami'a ma yakunu wa yuqaddiruhu Allah, everything that will happen, And everything that Allah has pre-decreed, وَمَا يُوحِي, and everything that He has revealed, وَيُوجِبُهُ, and what He has made obligatory, all of this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بِأَمْرِهِ, by His command, وَإِذْنِهِ, and by His permission, وَعِلْمِهِ, and based upon His knowledge. And I also want to, yani for a benefit, who have a few moments remaining, read from what Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di rahimahullah has said concerning this ayat. And I really usually read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, because that is the standard tafsir. And if we are looking at these ayats and we want to know what is the tafsir, the best source to look is the tafsir of Ibn Kathir. However, myself personally, I really like the tafsir of Sheikh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, so I wish that I can read it every time, but tonight we have a chance to read it. He says concerning this, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ, meaning يُفْسَلُ وَيُمَيِّزُ وَيُكْتَبُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ قَدَرِي وَشَرْعِي حَكَمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ, yani that every matter will be separated and made distinguished and written, every matter that Allah has decreed and every matter that Allah has legislated, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decided, all of it will be separated, yani from the law al-mahfuz, and it will be brought forth to be written, yani for the yearly decree. The Shaykh says, وَهَذِهِ الْكِتَابَ وَالْفُرْقَانِ, yani this writing and this criterion or distinguishing matter, الَّذِي يَكُونُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ, yani that takes place on the night of Qadr, is one of the writings, أحد أو إحدى الكتابات التي تكتب وتميز فتطابق الكتاب الأول الذي كتب الله به مقادر الخلائق, يعني that this writing that takes place on Laylatu Qadr is one of the writings which are written and which distinguish, يعني what will take place during that year, and it is in complete concordance, يعني in agreement with Al-Kitab Al-Awwal, yani the first writing. This yearly writing is in agreement with the first writing which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote of the pre-decrees of all of the creation. It's their lifespans, their provisions, their actions, and their conditions. ثُمَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى قَدْ وَقَلَ مَلَائِكَ تُقْتَبْ مَا سَيَجْرِي عَلَى الْعَبْدِ وَهُوَ فِي بَطْنِ أُمِّهِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed angels to write what will take place for every person while he is in the womb of his mother. Meaning, the Shaykh, now he's talking about the different types of writings. He's saying that this writing on Laylatul Qadr is in agreement with the first writing. And likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have the angels to record that which will take place in the person's life while he's in the womb of his mother. And he will, is that the brother calling that man? Or that's somebody's telephone? then he will appoint to the people, Bismillah wa salatu wa salam Rasulillah wa ala alihi wa man wa ala wa ba'd. Yani the Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he's mentioning this writing or this recording that takes place on Laylatul Qadr, which is the yearly, yani divine decree, recording of the divine decree that the things will happen in that year. And he says that this recording is in agreement with the first recording, yani that took place 50,000 years before Allah created the heavens and the earth, when he wrote the pre-decrees for all of the creatures, everything that will exist until Yawmul Qiyamah. And then he said, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints angels that will record what would happen to a person in their whole lifespan while they're in the womb of their mother. That's a different type of recording. And then he said he appoints angels after they come into this world, who are appointed to, yani karam and katibin, angels, noble, honorable recording angels, who record and protect and preserve his actions, meaning they record everything that he does so that nothing will be lost from it. ثُمَّ أَنَّهُ تَعَالَى يُقَدِّرُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ مَا يَكُونُ فِي السَّنَةِ. Then he says that the next writing is the yearly writing that takes place on Laylatul Qadr. And then he said, وَكُلُّ هَذَا مِنْ تَمَامْ عِلْمِهِ وَكَمَالْ حِكْمَتِهِ. And all of this, all of these types of recordings, yani the recording, yani the eternal recording that took place 50,000 years before the creation of heaven and earth, and the recording yani of what is recorded when the person is in their mother's womb, and what is recorded, what is taken out yearly on Laylatul Qadr. All of this is from the perfection of Allah's knowledge and the perfection of Allah's wisdom. And it also shows yani the completeness and the perfection of Allah's preservation of all matters and the care that He gives to His servants. And finally, the Shaykh closes with the statement of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, يَكْتُبُ مِنْ أُمِّ الْكِتَابِ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ مَا يَكُونُ فِي السَّنَةِ مِنْ مَوْتٍ أَوْ حَيَاةٍ وَرِزْقٍ وَمَطَرٍ حَتَّى الْحُجَّاجِ يُقَالُ يَحُجُّ فُلَانُ وَيَحُجُّ فُلَانُ. Yani Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he said, from the Umul Kitab, from the Umul Kitab, the mother of the book, the Lawh Mahfuz, on Laylatul Qadr, everything will be written that will take place in that year, including death, yani who will die in that year, and life, who will be born in that year, and provisions, what every person will receive of provisions in that year, and rain, the rain that will fall in that year. Even the Hujjaj, the pilgrims who are going to Mecca to make Hajj, it will be said, so and so will perform Hajj, and so will perform Hajj. Like right now, perhaps there's somebody who doesn't know he's going to Hajj, but it has already been made clear. And perhaps it's not too late. It's late, but it's not too late. Someone, it may have already been decreed that somebody is making Hajj this year and he might not even know yet. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows all that. And this explanation of Ibn Abbas, the affairs that would be recorded in that yearly pre-decree, he said, yani Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir, Shaykh Abdul Rahman, the Shaykh Hafidh Al-Hakami, rahimahullah, he says that this explanation is also the explanation of Al-Hasan Al-Basri and Sa'id ibn Jubair and Muqatil and Abu Abdul Rahman Al-Salami and غير, and also others besides them. All of them, yani, said something similar to this as the explanation yani of the recording that takes place on Laylatul Qadr, which is the yearly pre-decree. Alhamdulillah, we have a few moments remaining, so if anybody has a question about what we yani discussed this evening, preferably if there's something that's not clear, or any comment or correction from what we have said. Naam, Salih. No. Yani you're saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His care that He gives to His created beings and the recording of their deeds, should this not also yani inspire us, motivate us to give care to ourselves and to organize our lives and to yani be meticulous in what we do? Absolutely it should be. Yani this should be a great motivation for many things, to give care for sure, to give yani inaya to our lives in everything that we do. But also yani what is clear from the matters that we should give care to is our deeds. Since we know that all of it is being recorded, shouldn't this be a motivation? Just imagine, for example, this is just an example, right? If you work on a job and you knew that your boss or your supervisor or the one who determines how much you're going to get paid was watching you one day, how would your work be? Well, Allah is watching us and His angels are recording. So shouldn't a person be motivated to work hard and to do good all the time if you believe that Allah knows everything that we do and His angels are recording all of it and we will be called to account for all of it? Shouldn't that be a motivation then for a person to do better, to do more, to work harder, to be more sincere, to be more meticulous in your life and take advantage of every opportunity, especially if we know, for example, that our lifespans have already been pre-decreed. And we only have a limited lifespan in this world. We're only going to live for 30 years or 40 years or 50 or 60 years. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Umratu ummati bayna 60 wa 70 sana." That the lifespan of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. So imagine somebody who's already 60 or 70. And we have some people here who are already 60 or 70. Right? MashaAllah. We have some 70-year-olds. We have a lot of 60-year-olds. And the rest of you are young men. MashaAllah. But just imagine if you know that your life is almost over. I mean, it could be for the 20-year-old or the 15-year-old that their life is almost over too. But especially the old people, they know it's finished. And there's no doubt in their mind. Like the young people might be deceived and thinking they're going to live a long time. But the old people know they're not going to live a long time. They've already lived a long time. So shouldn't that be a motivation if a person knows their lifespan is limited? You're only going to live for 50 or 60 years. You're already 25 or 30 now. So half of your life is gone already. Probably you wasted a lot of it. Even if you just count how many hours you sleep every night, if you sleep 8 hours, that's one third of your life gone. If you live to be 60, 20 years is already gone. Maybe the first 20 years of your life, for a lot of people, they didn't do anything with it. They didn't know any better. Young people, not you young people, but the other young people are stupid. They don't know what to do with their life. They're wasting it away. So that's another 20 years gone. Now you got 20 years left. That's if you live to be 60. So what did you do with that 20 years? That you were mature and you knew what you were doing and you were not sleeping and you were not eating and you were not wasting time in recreation or entertainment or some other nonsense. What of that time did you utilize? You know that you only have a little bit of time. Then since we know that our time is limited and our deeds are recorded, that should be a motivation to us. Naam. To be meticulous in striving and struggling to do better. I'm saying to myself first and to all of us, yani, this should be a reminder to us today, tonight, right now, to do better. Not to let another day go by and you didn't do better. This should be a reminder to us all that we have to do better. Wallahi, we have to do better. There are a lot of easy things that you can do to do better. You can just do some dhikr. Yani, just saying subhanallah, alhamdulillah, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. These things are easy for you to say, and they are weightier on the scales if a person says it with consciousness of what they are saying and with sincerity. If they say that which has been legislated with consciousness of what they are saying and sincerity, there's a tremendous reward in just the dhikr, the adhkar, the sabah wal masa, or the things that we say, yani, in different times of the day on different occasions. These are from the little things that are very easy for us to do. Let us pay attention to it. Naam, Ibrahim. And then Ahmed, and we will close. Naam. 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 We said that this hadith, we referred to this hadith some time back. Not we referred to it. That there is this hadith which we mentioned tonight. And we said that some people might misunderstand this and try to figure it out. Some of the scholars have said the explanation of it is that which came in an authentic hadith. In an authentic hadith from the Prophet ﷺ. He said that some people would do the deeds of the people of paradise. فِيمَا يَبْدُو لِلنَّاسِ. Yani, the deeds of the people of paradise in what appears to the people that they are doing the deeds of the people of paradise. But then, when they are arm's length from the paradise, that which has written will overcome them. Then Allah will make manifest the reality of that person. Meaning, then Allah will make manifest the reality of that person. And then they will begin doing the deeds of the people of hellfire, and they will enter the hellfire. So the meaning, this interpretation is from the Prophet ﷺ, that some people may be doing the deeds of the people of paradise and they will end up in the hellfire because what they are doing is what you see, but Allah knows the reality of it. Allah knows what they are really doing and why they are doing it. And therefore, and Allah will judge them accordingly. There won't be any injustice in this. Okay? So that's not in conflict with what we have said here tonight, but it's clarification of what we have said. That if a person is confused, how could somebody be doing the deeds of the people of paradise and end up in the hellfire? Because Allah has pre-decreed this, and then that which He pre-decreed overcomes them, and then they do the deeds of the people of hellfire and enter the hellfire. How is that so? Well, in reality, they were from the people of hellfire from the beginning. But they just outwardly appeared to be from the people of paradise because of what? The signs of what we see outwardly are the signs of the people of paradise. The deeds that they're doing look like that. But in reality, their inner reality, which is known to Allah, is something different. And Allah makes that manifest so that sometimes the people can see. And Allah knows best. Ahmed, we'll close, inshallah. No. The different types of taqdeer, we said that there are five. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they write down the details that
are going
to happen from that decree.
Uh-huh.
So can you just elaborate a little on it? Just saying, I'm just trying to understand a little better. So they take the general thing that's going to happen and they write down the specific details of that thing?
No, the details are in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. But these details are made, yani some details are made known in certain stages. Some details are made known when the person is in the womb of their mother. Some details are made known. Okay? Some details are made, more details are made known in the yearly writing. More details of what is going to happen in that year. But all of those details are already contained in Lawh al-Mahfuz. It's just that some little bit more is brought out in each stage. And daily, more is brought out. More details of what is going to happen in that day. The execution of it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is brought out every single day. There's more specific, yani finer details of every matter. It's just that finer details are given out in different stages, but all of it goes back to Lawh al-Mahfuz. Every single bit of it is already in Lawh al-Mahfuz. Okay, we'll stop here, inshallah. Naam, ya akhi. Naam. Yeah, al-qadha wal-qadha. Naam, we said that in the beginning of the first class. We said Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he explained the difference between them basically as the qadr, al-qadru, it is that which Allah has pre-decreed, yani from the beginning, what He decided, what He knew in His knowledge and He had written, is going to happen to the creatures in this world. And the qadha is Allah's executing what He pre-decreed, meaning causing it to happen, bringing it into existence, creating it at the time when its time and place comes. The execution of what He pre-decreed. That's how Shaykh al-Uthaymeen explained it. Some scholars have explained it differently. That's the clearest explanation that I have seen. Allah knows best. Maybe the last one. Going to a soothsayer and believing what they say, how is it related to that? Allahu alam, Allahu alam. I mean, the only relation that is clear to me concerning that is that what is pre-decreed is only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Except if Allah informs an angel or a prophet of something particular from the knowledge of the unseen. But it's not known to anyone. So if a person goes to a soothsayer who says, I can tell you what's going to happen in the future, tomorrow, the next day, or next week, or next year, then that's from the unseen. That's impossible for him to know that. So the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever goes to the soothsayer and testifies to the truthfulness of what he says, meaning believes in him, then he has disbelieved in what has been revealed to Muhammad ﷺ. Because what has been revealed to Muhammad is that nobody knows the unseen except Allah. So if a person goes to a soothsayer and they say, I can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow or something from the unseen, then they are person whoever believes that, then he has disbelieved in what the Prophet ﷺ have come with. It doesn't appear on the surface that it does. Unless the person actually does believe clearly that they believe that this person actually has independent knowledge of the unseen separate from Allah. If a person believes that there's a human being that without separate, independent of Allah, they can know the unseen. If a person actually believes that, people probably believe that the soothsayer doesn't know the unseen, but somebody is coming helping him, some jinn or whatever is helping him or something. They're not actually believing that this person has independent knowledge of the unseen, like Allah. If a person believes that, that's kufr, for sure. That's kufr. Whoever believes that anyone has the knowledge of the unseen, then that's kufr. If somebody believes that a person actually has this knowledge, independent in and of themselves, then that's kufr. But, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.